Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
OK, Tom, you're our sales pro. In 30 words or less, can you tell us about this podcast?
I'm going to try. You know, us salespeople like to talk, Kelly.
You sure do.
All right, 30 words or less.
Can you do it?
Well, if you're a sales pro and you're looking to grow in your sales career, if you like good, lively sales discussion, I think this is going to be a show for you. I've walked your walk for over 30 years in sales. I've knocked on the doors and overcome the same obstacles I think you may be facing as a seller, a sales manager, and as a VP of sales. I currently help assess, build, and train high-performing media sales teams. Well, Kel?
Yeah, you really went over 30 words.
But I think it was good.
I do too.
Okay, so I hope our listeners will be all set. And hey, let's roll up our shirt sleeves and let's get at it.
So enjoy listening to Tom and his guests talk sales. Okay, Tom, I got a couple of questions for you. I got to preview this week's episode. And with his sales, he seemed to struggle a little bit at the beginning. Did you have those same struggles?
Well, I'd love to tell you no. It's actually hard for me to remember. You know, at my age, the memory isn't what it used to be, Kel.
I understand.
So you're asking me to go way, way back.
Right. But you've always had so much confidence. I guess I never pictured you with struggling with anything.
Well, luckily, back when I was struggling, you were so busy with the kids, you maybe didn't notice.
Oh, maybe.
You just thought I was being a little bit annoying, maybe. But yeah, we all do. You know, and that to me was such a, I'm glad you picked up on that. To me, that was such a cool part. Our guest today, Marcus Chan, is going to kind of walk us through his sales journey a little bit. He's also going to give so many great ideas and points about sales. But the thing, Kel, we all go through it. You know,
right.
We all have to start somewhere. And, you know, despite, and I joke about my memory all the time, and you know my memory, but I have a very vivid recollection of my first really big sale. And it wasn't even that big a sale.
Right.
But it was to me. You know, it was a Little Caesars franchise at just outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And, you know, if she didn't buy, she ended up buying our front cover. I was with Values Unlimited back then.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
If she doesn't buy our front cover that day, which was our biggest piece, our most expensive, I might not be doing what I'm doing today. You know,
wow.
Maybe I would have gone back into being a football player. You know, who knows?
Who knows with that?
But, you know, it's those little things. And as Marcus talks, we're all going to get hit with these things. We're all going to struggle a little bit. We've got to fight our way through it. You know, let's talk about you were in retail for a long, long time.
True.
And then you had to take a new role as a store manager, as an assistant manager for a place. I got to assume you had some concerns and some doubts as you started that.
You fake the confidence.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
And you'd been in retail for, you know, 15, 16 years at least at
right.
that point. And you're still going to have some doubts as you go through. We got to fight our way through.
True. That is true. I remember faking the confidence.
Mm-hmm. And then it comes, right?
It does.
You work your way through and eventually it gets there. To me, whether someone's starting in sales or you could have been in sales a long time, you're still going to go through those phases where the confidence gets a little shaken. And you just got to keep pushing through. And that's what I think Marcus does such a great job explaining. And he's so grounded. You know, he's a family guy. He has done everything that he's telling people how to do. And I think that's so important when you've gone through it. If you're a leader and you've never gone through these kind of struggles, you're not going to be able to help people the same way.
So true. You won't believe them.
Yeah. And you're not going to have the answers. You're not going
right.
to believe them. You're going to think it's something else. And so that's why I really love. And Marcus is doing some amazing things. He's helping sellers, sales leaders, organizations every day. But we just have a really good conversation about sales and kind of how we work through it. I think our guests are really going to enjoy that today.
All right. Well, let's listen.
Let's do it.
Hi, this is Kayla from South Jersey. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
Okay, so we are here today with Marcus Chan. Marcus is president and founder of Venley Consulting Group and the Six Figure Sales Academy. Did I get both of those right, Marcus?
You nailed it. Absolutely right. All right. And, reading through your profile, I want to hear about your journey because you talk about being the absolute worst sales rep at your first sales company, doubting yourself every day. And here you are now, posting amazing content. Basically, you're educating people for free in sales on LinkedIn and in your website every single day. So that's got to be quite the journey. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, after I graduated college, my parents had wanted me to go down, become a doctor, lawyer, or whatever. And
Yeah,
I
the
didn't do any
parents
of those things.
never
Went,
want us to
oh,
go into sales, right? Did any
they
parent ever
never want us
say,
going to sales,
I'm sending you for 4 years, I'm paying all this money so you could be a salesman? That just doesn't happen.
Well, so my parents were not that cool. They didn't pay for my school. They said, you can go anywhere you want to go to school, but you got to pay for it. So I'm like, well, once I'm done with school, no more debt. I'm not going to go. I'm not taking on any more school.
Very good. So
So
there's lesson number one. So that's
lesson number
good.
one, right?
Yeah.
So I got into outside sales, and at the time I was pretty excited about it, right? I mean, fresh college grad, you feel like you're invincible, you can conquer the world. I stepped into that role, and the role punched me right in the face.
All right, so they handed you a manual, right? There's your training, and now you're out there. So what's
I'm
next?
out there and I go, I knock on 60 doors by foot canvassing. Boom, I hit every single business by foot, 60 businesses. Got my face punched in every single time. Didn't close a single deal, didn't book a single appointment, generated zero interest. And this basically went on for weeks, right? And I literally, I thought I was gonna lose my job. I thought about quitting, but this is during the last recession. And the economy is starting to tank, and business is shutting down. So I started getting really worried. I'm like, oh man, like, what if I can't pay my bills? What if I get evicted? What am I gonna do? And at this point, on top of this, I just started dating, my now wife, but it was my girlfriend at the time, and we were getting pretty serious. And I'm like, okay, how can how can I afford a ring? Do all these things? And also, her parents are pretty, they're pretty like, traditional. I'm like, okay, like there's no way I could talk to her parents and ask for her hand in marriage and say, hey, I'm basically terrible at my job. I'm failing. I can't support our family. So just go down that path. So
There's some sleepless nights happening right there.
there were some sleepless nights for sure. And at that point, I continued to push on. Eventually, I did figure out how to sell effectively. It took a little bit of time, but once I figured it out, I was really fortunate. I got to, by my third month, though, I became number one. And well, I stayed number one for 3 more months. And then they say, hey, Marcus, we want you to take over now a different operation. We're going to give you a fake promotion, meaning we want you to go and take over a small team. Yes, to leave that company, start the whole new company, and took a demotion. And when I first started, I was pretty confident. I was pretty confident. I had some early success, especially early on for several weeks. But then about 6 months in, my boss quit, my boss's boss quit, and my boss's bosses quit. So I'm like, oh man. So basically everyone that hired me into this company now,
Everybody who believed in you and was excited that
exactly.
you're there.
They're all gone. So at that point, I'm like, I wasn't really sure. I'm like, oh man, maybe I made a terrible decision. Maybe I made a terrible, like, I mean, I was having success and I was fine, but I'm like my goal was to get back to at least a leadership role and to lead teams again. And now I knew a new VP is gonna come in town, but like, who's this guy who's been here for like 6 months? Like, we're not gonna make him the sales leader. Very fortunate, got the sales leadership role. I interviewed for it, got the role, took over the team, turned the team around, and then from there I continued to progress my career to the point of, in my last role, I led a sales org. We had over 100 employees over multiple states. We did 9 figures a year in revenue. So a lot of fun from there. And then eventually I quit that to do my own thing. And that's been going on for over a year and almost over a year now, which has been absolutely an incredible journey.
Yeah, absolutely. You bring that passion that's always made you successful. I'll encourage would encourage all of our listeners. We could spend an hour going through all the different things you've done, where you've been published, and the teams that you've led, and the awards and things. I would encourage people to check you out, follow you on LinkedIn. One of my favorite posts or piece of content that you put out was the iceberg. And you know what? A listener is going to go and they're going to look at your profile and they're going to see that the top of the iceberg. They're going to see all the success, all the things you've done. And it's what's below the iceberg that they're not going to understand, all that passion, all that hard work, all the doubts and the mistakes and the things that go into it that everybody has to get through, right? So you want to see those things in the top of the iceberg, you just got to go and put in the hard work. And I think it's just such a great story for people to check out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, right? I mean, that's just, you know, at the end of the day, that's why I often share lots on LinkedIn or you know, online, a lot of the struggles and challenges, especially, you know, starting out in sales or even being successful in sales, because even after you quote unquote made it, right? Maybe you hit your first award, maybe you hit the first level of income tier you want to get to, you've never really made it. You end up setting a new goal. And at the end of the day, regardless of what the goal is, there's still a lot of hardness you got to push through to get there. And a lot of times people forget that. And we do glamorize with social media the highlight reels of life. Hey, it's amazing. I just bought this house. I bought this car. That's all cool for sure. But what did it really take to get there, right? What was the hard stuff you had to push through to get there? And it's not easy. I have to work it every single day. You know, I was talking to somebody else the other day. They said, hey, Marcus, you know, your videos are pretty good. You're pretty good on video. You have pretty good content. I'm like, wow, like I wish I was a natural like you. I'm like, well, that's because you haven't seen my first videos 5 years ago. You haven't seen my first posts I written 5 years ago in which they were terrifying. You know, they're horrifying to look at. So it took that long for me to get somewhat okay on video and to get somewhat okay, you know, at writing posts. So it just takes time working.
Most of the people that we look at and think it's natural, it truly wasn't. There was a lot of work and exactly. Things that went in. And, you know, that leads us to your content from today. So I'm a sales guy. I did all my research, all my work. I had a script of things I wanted to talk to you about today, which included about 75 overcoming objections points, but because of I know you'd have great answers for our listeners. But your post today, I thought was perfect for what everyone has been going through. You talk about the two things that you see struggling businesses and struggling reps that they have in common. So can you just, you know, kind of explain that a little bit to our listeners?
100%, right? So when you look at a business that's struggling or a rep who's struggling, and doesn't matter tenure or amount of time the business has been running around, but a lot of time, if they've been struggling for a while, there's usually, you know, they're missing usually two things. You know, number one, they're missing clarity. And number two, they're missing purpose. And the clarity could be on so many different things, from where they stand exactly right now in the moment of time to where they need to go. And that's usually the most common. Most people struggle with that, right? And I'll give you a really simple example. This applies to really anything in life. Like if for example, in sales, if you do not have clarity, you don't really know where you stand. You might have an idea. You might say, oh, you know what? Maybe my sales numbers aren't where I want to be. But do you really know? Do you actually truly know your numbers? Do you truly know what are your inputs you're currently doing? Like, do you truly know what your pipeline looks like? Do you truly know your closing ratio, your conversion ratio, your booking ratio, all the key ratios you need to know about your numbers? Do you truly like, and it's okay if you don't like the answer. That's totally fine, right? But the key is, do you know? And then once you know where you stand, do you know where you want to go? And once you know where you want to go, when you have crystal clear clarity to where you want to go for maybe a results or whatever achievement perspective, then you can figure out the in-between. Where you want to go and where you are today, right?
Yeah, you know, I worked with so many sellers over the years. Yeah. The really good ones, they knew their commissions pretty much dollars and cents every month.
100%.
Those that struggled, you know, they'd sit down with me at the end of the month. Well, you know, how did I do? You know, what are my numbers? Nice. They really didn't even know where they were. And to me, that's so significant that they understand.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's not always like, okay, to be driven by data, but simply, there are facts you must know. Like, what are the facts about your business? The hard numbers about your business? Because there is that old saying, what gets measured gets improved. And it is true. Like, but you have to know where you stand and where you want to go. So you have to have clarity to that. That is so vital. And that's the first piece. And then the next piece is, reality is if you have big goals in mind, whether you're an individual seller or if you have a big goal in mind of what you want to accomplish, at the end of the day, if you have big goals, once you have big goals, obstacles show up. That's what happens. So that's why you need to have number two, you need to have a purpose. You need to have a why, something that drives you from inside that's deeper than just a surface level, superficial, and extrinsic motivational piece. And I'll give you a good example. So sometimes, you know, when I talk to a sales professional, they're like, oh, I got these big goals. I want to make $200,000 a year. And they've only maybe made, we'll call it $50,000 a year. I say, great. And I'll say, why do you want to make $200,000 a year? Oh, well, you know, because I want to have money. Because I never made that much before. It'd be so cool. I'm going to buy a new car. I want to buy a house. I want to do these things. Well, that's still really surface level. That doesn't drive into your true purpose. Like you're not showing up every single day when it's hard because you want to buy a new car. Some people, but most people are not. So that's very surface level. So you have to go deeper. Why? Well, you know, you start digging a little deeper. It's like maybe they start to go, well, it's because I have family. Tell me more about that. Oh, I have two kids. Well, tell me more. Well, I want to put them in private school. Well, why do you want to put them in private school? Well, because I personally don't like public school because I went to public school. I didn't get the education. I didn't get the support. And that really bothered me. And I want to make sure now I put my kids in a better position. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're diving deeper into a deeper why. Right? Being able to serve the children or whatever it's going to be. And when you have those deeper whys, and they can go even deeper than that, those whys are what drives people to get out of bed every single day, to take action towards those big goals that they have clarity on. And so you have to have that clarity, but you have to have that purpose because the purpose drives everything. The purpose is that fuel for the fire. It's the gas for the gasoline tank. Without that, once you have obstacles, you won't keep going.
Yeah, no, and it's such an important point. You know, people work a lot harder for what they need than what they want. You know, so right. To want that 200,000, okay, are they going to make those 10 extra calls that week? Are they going to do that extra work? But when you need it, you're going to have that extra drive, which is so, so important. 100%. One of the things I like the way you talk about, and I've read a few of the things that you've published, you don't like sales when it's salesy, right? So yeah. how we need to close business. We are salespeople. Talk about how a salesperson can do it and not be salesy.
Yeah, and I'll make a very, very simple. You know, I think a lot of times when someone thinks about someone who's great at sales, you know, and in their mind, or even when they think about, you know, a salesperson, in their mind, they conjure up images of somebody, you know, who is, you know, real fast talking, you know, maybe they're super smooth, pretty well spoken, et cetera. And that's kind of what they just portray in their mind. And I understand at times I do talk fast, and I do understand that right now I'm relatively well spoken, but most people don't realize that I didn't start this way. Okay. It's irrelevant. I've only gotten better at speaking because I've had to work at public speaking because I had a speech impediment. But in general, most people focus on, hey, how well can I pitch? That's the focus. How well can I pitch? I want to win like pitch competition. I want to pitch so well that they are so committed. Like, what do I need to say to convince somebody? Well, if you're thinking that way, you're already in the wrong path. Like it's not about, like, this is 2020 as right now, right? It'll be 2021 whenever we release it. Like, at the end of the day, it's not about convincing anybody. Like, no one wants to be sold to. People love to buy, but they hate to be sold to. And if you want to be better at selling and you want to minimize, if not eliminate, being salesy, the easiest way is to talk less. That's it. You simply talk less. But what that means is, you just ask better questions. And anytime you feel like you want to pitch something, you just slow down and you see how can you convert it into a question instead.
And does that lead in? I like the way you talk about the airplane magazine test, right? So yes. I'm in the storytelling coincides beautifully with the airplane magazine test, right?
Yeah, 100% right. So just for listeners out there, the airplane magazine test, you know,
No,
when it
Marcus,
was.
they should have done their research. That you shouldn't have to explain this.
I know. I gotta frame them up, right? So
For the one listener who is not prepared for today's podcast, go
I
ahead.
know, I know. If you didn't properly prepare a pre-call before listening to this, right? So with the airplane magazine test, it's a very simple thing, right? So majority of people out there listening have probably been on an airplane before. They probably sat on an airplane. They
2020.
probably, yeah, hopefully, right? You know, and they flip through the magazine, the airplane magazine, and inside the airplane magazine, you know, like it's the magazine itself by the airline. It's not like 100% of it's filled with pictures of the planes. Look how awesome our planes are. Look how awesome our pilots are. Look how awesome our staff is, right? I'm not a very small percentage, right? But majority it's not. Majority inside the magazine, it's focused on the destinations and the places people are going to go, the cities that they can fly to, the restaurants, the scenery, the landscape, the adventures, the activity, the family photos, the emotional feelings you get when you are at the destination that you want to go to. And really the goal of, if we think about the goal of this is when they look through the magazine, it's like, wow, you know what? I've never been to Montana. I think I want to book a flight to Montana and go out there and just hang out there. The goal is you see that, you get that emotional connection, and ultimately you're going to book a flight eventually with them to go there. So, and the reason that this is so powerful is the magazine itself is not selling how awesome the plane is. They're selling the experience, the desired end result you will get by flying the plane with them. And when you apply this to a sales process, a lot of times I see reps, you know, they get so focused on, let's say for software, they get so focused on the demo, the features, the better, they're so focused on all these little things that their customer or product does not really care about. The customer, all they care about is an end result. What's the end result and desire they're going to get by utilizing the software, the product? And if people aren't closing or selling at the level they expect, a lot of times they're not passing that airplane magazine test. They're focused on selling the features versus selling the end destination result they're going to have.
It's that emotional buy-in that they're looking for, and you're walking them through a story, painting a beautiful picture, and you're going to help them get where they want to go. Let's segue for a second, because as you're talking about that, I'm thinking of a lot of sales leaders I've worked with that when they get that new hire, and maybe this was when you first started, right? You got that manual. I'm guessing there weren't some beautiful destinations in that manual they handed you on that first day. They probably handed you a manual with all the specs, all the
Yes.
features, all the benefits, and here's how many calls you need to make a day, and here's how you fill out your time sheet, and here's your expense report. Why aren't more sales leaders teaching how to show those destinations and tell those stories?
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, and this is where I think it becomes a cycle too, right? And I'll give a real good example. So in my last company, before I started my own company, in my last company, early on, it was very much focused on, hey, here are all the products, here's a catalog, here's the products, here's the specs, and it was all focused on that. And a lot of reps, when they start, they want that too. They're like, oh, I want to know all the ins and outs in case someone asks me any questions, and they want to feel confident. So it becomes a cycle where reps want it, and so do the companies. Now, for me, when I became a sales leader, I knew this is an issue. So I actually wouldn't train any product knowledge or any tech specs until they were past 30 days. The first 30 days, I would indoctrinate them into how I sold and how the best way to sell. And I'll indoctrinate them into the culture of the company. So they're bought into the culture of the company, and they're bought into how to sell effectively. So the belief of themselves is very, very high. And only after that, then I focus on the products. And most companies don't do that way. They really don't. I mean, I only did it for my team. Other teams didn't do this, but I did it for my team. This is why we soared to the top. But a lot of companies, because they're like, hey, you know what? Like, this is what we're known for. We're known for having a great X software, a great X product. So we need to make sure they know all about that. That can be, they do need to know some for sure. I'm not saying they don't need to know, but it cannot replace fundamental sales skills that they have to be bought into. And on top of that, company culture too. It's I mean, it still happens even to this day. It happens across the board. But now it's got more convoluted, I would say, to the point of where I see now, especially for tech companies, they bring them in, they focus on the products, and then they say, hey, here's your tech stack. Here's all the software now. Let's just focus on that.
Hey, listeners, it's Kelly Bloomer here to tell you the show is brought to you by Bloomer Associates. If you visit our website found in your show notes, you'll find we offer sales training, talent assessment for hiring and team development, and individual coaching for sales pros and managers. We bring over 30 years in media sales and leadership experience. If you enjoy listening to OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales, ask how our team can work with your sales team for virtual meetings, roundtables, and motivational seminars. You can contact us through our website or call today, 919-267-9871. Now back to our show.
Hey everyone, before we get back to today's show, I want to tell you about a special treat. At the conclusion of today's episode, we're going to air a special outtake. During our pre-call, I asked Marcus, I noticed he had gone on many award-winning trips in his sales career, and I asked him to tell me a story about his favorite sales award trip. What developed is a story I think you're going to want to hear. It's very inspiring. It really gets to the heart of a proper leadership mindset. So I hope you'll stick around and enjoy that at the conclusion of today's show.
My name is Alex from Chicago. Okay, Boomer, teach me something about sales.
You talk a lot about how you bounce back, from that tough day or that tough week. And your journey took us through that. But can you give us just one or two things? Somebody's out there today, they just had a really difficult month. How do they bounce back from that?
Yeah, so a couple key things that can really help, right? So I think first off, number one, you know, whatever goals you have, okay, if it's monthly or quarterly or annual goals, take those goals and break it down into a daily goal. Okay. And this can be from a results perspective, but also from a controllables perspective, an inputs perspective. So that way, you know, if you accomplish this, you feel really good about this. And this is really, really important where, like for me, I'll give you an example, right? So as a sales professional, I called it a daily income goal. I had a daily income goal. Okay. I also have specific activity goals as well. And I tie it into a point system. So for example, as a field rep, I said, okay, every day I want to get 60 points in activity that I know will lead to my end result. So, and the points broke down like this. Like if I did a presentation with a new prospect, that would be 10 points. If I did like a walk-in face-to-face cold call, that was 1 point. So every day, regardless if I sold anything, if I got 60 points that day, I'm like, great day. I had four.
Something's going to happen down the road from that.
Something's going to happen, right? Chances were like, I mean, here's the reality. Was I knew I had 25% closing ratio already. I'm like, okay, four appointments today. I'm probably closing one realistically. You know, like that's just, I already know. Okay. And I also did 20, door knocks as well. So I know out of the 20, I'll easily book at least three appointments in the field. And then I'll have 17 places to call for my next phone session. So I knew already just off of that, I was already building a future pipeline. So that I felt really good about that. That's the first piece. The second piece was a daily income goal. I'm like, every single day, I want to generate at minimum $1,000 commission every single day. And that way in my head, I'm like, okay,
lunch or is that the whole day?
Just the whole day, right? Just the whole day. All right. That's it. So you set that goal. I'm like, okay, cool. I close the deal this morning. Great. That was a $600 commission in the morning. Cool. Okay. Let me go get $400 this afternoon. And that made it much more digestible versus a massive goal. Say, okay, I want to make $250,000 this year or whatever. Like now you have a digestible daily goal. So that's the first piece, having daily activity and also result goals. That's the first piece. That helps you manage that. Okay. Now that may not change if you had a rough month or whatever, but that's how you think future-wise. Okay.
Well, now, and I think you're getting some confidence in those achievable things they can do every day, right? So that's helping correct. There as well.
Correct. So now your milestones, and it can vary. I mean, it's whatever you want to focus on, right? Maybe it's like, hey, I want to focus on making sure every day, because I'm not about like, I'm just going to go out there and just make, you know, I don't like doing points for calls because that can drive the wrong behavior. But for booked appointments, okay, cool. So if every day, if I can book two appointments every single day, whether it's on social media or on the phone, I'll be in a good spot, right? Whatever it's going to be. But you have something that's going to help you drive future pipeline. Now, the next thing you want to do, and this is very good from a daily perspective, is every single day, when your day ends, and if you had a rough day, you might be like, oh, man, what's wrong with me? I can't believe I messed this up, or this went sideways, this deal fell through, and you're beating yourself up. It's normal for everyone. It happens to me too. Before you go down that negative path, you just want to make sure you ask yourself a couple of questions, and you should write this down until you make it a habit. Hey, what did I learn from today? And how can I apply what I learned for the future? And if you want to go extra bonus points, what could be great about today? So now you're forcing your brain with better, more positive questions. So even if your day went completely sideways, maybe you had 5 appointments booked for today, they all no-showed you, right? Every call you made, they said no, you lost some deals, whatever happened, right? What did you learn? What could you do differently? And we started thinking this way. And so now you're putting yourself not in as a victim, but as taking 100% ownership, but you're now also thinking proactively. Because if you're like, well, you know what? That person no-showed me. Okay, what could I do differently? Well, on the phone, I didn't do a good job on my initial call with them. I didn't do a good job really qualifying them. I didn't send them an Outlook invite. I didn't send them a follow-up. I didn't do all these things that could have helped me. Okay. Well, here's what I'm doing. Tomorrow, when I make some calls, when I book some appointments, I'm going to make sure I send an invite for every single appointment. Okay. And now you incrementally do this. But when you start thinking this way and you start thinking proactively, this helps you have a better next day result. So if you had a tough month, which that happens, no one bats 1,000, you had a tough month. Ask yourself those questions. What can I learn from this month? What can I do better for next month? And what could be great about this current month? And we started thinking this way, you start reframing how you think. And by doing that, it can be very powerful. If you want a super, super easy thing to do as well, on top of that, make sure you write all those things down. And when you write them down, you're reaffirming in your mind what you learned and what could be great. And if you keep a separate section for what's great, it turns into a gratitude list. Now you're like, okay, you know what? Actually, I'm pretty grateful. Like, this is actually had this happen today. Because sometimes you forget. And it was really important to remember those wins. Because when you are in the darkness of the, the misquote or the misnumber, the miss whatever, you start going down a very negative path. But the faster you can pull yourself out of that negative mind space back into the positive mind space by doing the simple tactical things, the faster your results will turn around.
So what percentage, I've always felt that sales is tremendously you have to have the right mindset. You have to be positive. You have to be confident. What sounds like you're talking about there is developing the habits to keep that positive mindset because you have to be on, right? You have to wake up that next morning thinking you're going to get that $600 sale in the morning and getting that extra $400 sale. So these are habits that are going to just keep them positive, right?
100%. And this is where it goes even deeper, where I'm a firm believer. If you want to be a peak performer in anything in life, okay, it does not matter whether you want to be a great husband, mother, father, son, salesperson, business owner, whatever, architect, doesn't matter. You need to know how to turn on your peak performance state. Like you have to put yourself in a peak state like this. And it starts from when you wake up. And your ability to do that can determine how great your life can be. Like, I mean, you talk to any top performer across the field that's consistently top performing, majority of them have certain things they do to put themselves in state. You watch an athlete, like before they, if it's Michael Phelps, before he gets behind the blocks, he has a whole several hour routine before he gets to that point. You watch track and field, basketball, any sport, same. They put themselves in peak performing state. And your ability to do that sets you up to win each day.
Yep. And it's all about getting yourself back in that state and then maintain.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Marcus, in that light there, one of the things that we talked about in our pre-call, you told me a little bit about some of the leadership positions that you'd held, and one really stood out in my mind. You had very early on, I think it was one of your first leadership roles, you took over a team that was really struggling, and you had to get in and show them some things. You know, what did they need to see from you? What did you need to show them?
Because once they saw that, right? Because once they knew I had their best interest in mind, and I knew their purpose, I knew they had their goals and purpose. I just made sure they saw, hey, when you hit your purpose and your goals, it only leads to what I want to accomplish too. In fact, the faster you get to your goals, the faster I get to my goals. So I am heavily vested into you achieving your goals, becoming the best version of you, being take care of your family, do whatever you want, give financial freedom. Because when you do that, it'll help me achieve my goals too. So it's really a win-win across the board. So I will give you 100%. I just ask you, you give me 100% every single day too. That's it. So, and that was really powerful to work together. And at the end of the day, leadership is a transfer belief. And your ability to transfer that belief into your people is so vital. But you can't just say the words. You got to show them every single day. You got to earn every single day with them as well.
Because they're watching you every day. And, you know, we think 100%. We have to be on when we're in front of a client. Boy, when you're a leader, you have to be on your entire day because they're watching and they're going
to
learn.
They're watching. And you got to be open to feedback too, right? I made mistakes. You know, I made mistakes. And unfortunately, some of them, early on, I put them in a position where they felt comfortable telling me. So they tell me, I'm like, oh, crap. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I'll just own it. Like, that was my bad. I had no idea. You know, we're only human.
Yeah, but just seeing the way you're going to react to the feedback makes a huge difference with the team as well, as opposed to somebody that is going to be argumentative and not learn. And but hey, I can't let you go. I know we're running out of time, but I prepared 75 objections that my listeners, they want to know how to overcome. So can I got to hit you with one of them. You ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
You're a sales guy. You're boom. You get the objection, you answer it, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Let me find a good one. Marcus, I need to think about it. I just need time. I just need to think about it.
Hey, I tell you what, Tom, I totally get that. In fact, take as much time as you'd like. But just so I understand, what exactly do you need to think about?
Well, I'm not sure if I can afford it.
Okay. Tell me more about that. What's that mean?
You're going to walk me through every objection I have. This will be perfect. But no, just explain, because I love the way you did that. Okay. Mm-hmm. You basically, they said, hey, I need more time, but you needed to learn something, right? So explain to them real quick what you just did there to me, that because that was just so simple the way you did it. I don't want them to miss what you just did there.
Oh, yeah. So let's walk through real tactically, right? So, I'll explain the why behind it. So when someone has an objection, and that could be a real or false objection, realistically, those are probably some false objections you just assume, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter. But what's really important is I need to make sure Mr. and Mrs. Prospect feels heard. That's really important, that they're validated in their objection. Even if it's a fake one, I need to make sure they feel validated. So when you said your first one, hey, I need to think about it, basically need some time, I just agreed. I simply agreed to say, hey, you know what? I totally get that. Because what are they going to say to that? Nothing. Like, okay.
You can't argue with that.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And then also notice here, what's really key is it's not just what I said, but how do I say it? I soften my tone. I soften my approach. I need to make sure Tom does not feel I'm being combative and uncovering what's on his mind. So I just slow down. I say, hey, I totally get it. You know, take some time or whatever. Just help me understand, what exactly do you need to think about? Now, that's it's a soft tone because it's a direct question. I need to know what is truly going on in Tom's head. And he said, okay, you know, I'm not sure if I can, you know, afford it. That could be the real objection. I still don't know. I do not want to assume that's what the objection is, because I need to think about it. The time objection and money they're always such surface level, easy, you know, softball ones. They're always going to throw you. So then I slow down. And my next step now is I want to really clarify what the real objection is. And all I said was, hey, can you tell me more about that? No. Now you can rephrase stuff like, hey, what exactly do you think you are not able to afford? Mm-hmm. And just wait.
It was perfect. Yeah. No, fantastic. Marcus, hey, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you joining us today. As I said early on, anybody who's listening, I highly recommend that they follow you on LinkedIn. They're going to get information like you just shared with us on a daily basis in video, in text, in information. But let our listeners know, how do they follow you? Where do they find you, your website? Where do they find Marcus Chan?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. A ton of fun. You can find me on LinkedIn. Look at Marcus Chan. It's the only guy with Speedos in the tagline. And of course, if you head over to marcuschan.io/resources, that's marcuschan.io/resources. There's free trainings, free resources, free, a bunch of free stuff in there. It's going to help you sell more and earn more.
Fantastic. Marcus, thank you very much. And look forward to our next conversation.
My pleasure.
Now that outtake I promised you, Marcus delves into a leadership mindset. I think you're going to enjoy this.
You got time for just a couple more quick questions?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. So first, I noticed on your profile, you've won many sales trips. We were talking destinations. I want to just... What was your favorite award trip? Where was the one you look back, you say, that was, I'm really glad I won that trip? Was it to Jersey?
So I've been pretty fortunate. It was New Jersey. I mean, flying into the Newark airport was awesome, right? I mean, it's very modern now. I mean, I'm just saying. So, whole sushi bars and all stuff inside. So, it's interesting. I've traveled around the world. I mean, I've been all around the world and I've been all types of cool places. But I would say the one that probably gave me the most significance, because that's how I tie it, would be probably my 2014 trip. And we went to, it wasn't anywhere crazy, this is Cancun. But the reason that trip was really, really powerful for me was that was my first trip as a sales leader for the company I was at. And the team I had taken over, it was a team I had sold on, and they were the worst team in the whole company. And this is a Fortune 500 company, the worst team in the whole company. And they had told me that nobody, before I got there, everyone around there said, nobody can hit President's Club. No one can hit awards. No one can do these things. That no one hits President's Club in Portland. That was just not a thing. And I said, that's all a bunch of BS. That's baloney. We're going to change. Once I'm the sales leader, I'm going to change and shift this mindset. So it took my first year running that team. We didn't hit President's Club that year, but I had all the right players in place. We still had a bang out year. And then the following year, right, that was like a redemption year, because now I had my right players. They were properly trained. They were like in all the right places. I had gotten rid of all the cancers on the team that were detracting from the culture and the mindset and the legacy I wanted to build. So that year, 2014, so when we hit President's Club that year, I mean, we sent a bunch of reps to President's Club. We had top reps of the year, but the trip itself was cool. I mean, cool resort, cool whatever. But more importantly, it was a symbol of that's possible. It was a representation, not just to the team that I was overseeing, but a representation to really the entire region that had made fun of the team and said it was one of the worst teams, right? Because at that point, it was a symbol of, hey, you know what? Anything is possible. If Portland can do it, anybody can do it, right? Like
that's what we've always said for years across the country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So to me, that was such a powerful way. It was a powerful thing to show. On top of that, I know my boss at the time, my VP, when he put me into that role as a sales leader, he put his trust into me. I knew there was some doubts in him of like, whoa, why is he putting this guy who's brand new to the company like 9 months in as a sales leader now? Like that's like most people became a sales leader in like 3-4 years. This guy's been here for like 9 months, and other more qualified candidates did not get it over me. So putting me in there, I'm like, okay, I want to show everyone else and show him he made the right choice. And that was really important to me. So that trip to me was very symbolic of being able to take what I call the invisible and make it visible. right? To take what I saw in my mind between the territory between my ears and make it real when no one else could see that. And I took a lot of pride because that was like, that was a sign. Once we did that, and we won like team awards and all that stuff too, that was cool too. But once we did that, everyone around the region was like, wow, it's possible.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.